Hello, everybody, and welcome to the DS9 Minute, the Green Shirt mini-cast, where we discuss an episode of DS9 and the amount of time it takes you to chase a societally bred prey across
reptile
the
man.
Alpha Quadrant.
Lizard man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. To hunt down a lizard man.
There we go. I am Cameron, who, much like TNG, has not watched DS9 until now, but I am joined by fellow green shirt, Rob Campbell.
Hey, it's me, Rob Campbell.
And my Pylon fanatics, Bobby Blue.
What's up, people?
And John Bolds.
Oh, he disappeared. Where did he go?
It's a visual bit. It works really well
invisible.
For podcasting.
Yeah. Yeah. Whoa. Well, we all brought at least 9 thoughts on this episode to discuss in 9 minutes. So let's start that timer.
There we go.
Quark canceled. Let's cancel Quark. Remember the days when sex clause in a contract was like played for laughs? It is played for laughs here, right? Like that was funny in the 90s.
I don't think they were addressing it head on.
Okay, because like
a little bit used to make,
used to make jokes about like the casting couch and oh, it's hilarious that producers would make you have sex for a role, or in this case, like oh, it's hilarious that Quark would put a sex clause into his contract. Anyway. Ding on Quark, but I'm just going to write it off. This is one of those things I'm going to just forget about his character so I can like him.
Sure. Well, Rob, I kind of agree, because at the start I was like, oh man, Quark, I don't know if you're going to be able to come back from being a sex merchant. But then by the end of the episode, I was like, oh, Quark, you're so adorable with like his little pep talk to O'Brien. Like, totally saved it. Say, you know, write in all the sex clauses you want, Quark, as long as you're adorable and make me laugh.
Oh boy.
All right, to keep on with this theme, Quark saying, don't call me barkeep. I'm not a barkeep. Like, he is so fed up with being called barkeep. It is one of the best line deliveries in this early season. Yeah. Like, he's so good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll run off this theme too. I was there's no lower command than Cisco that can take care of harassment issues on the station.
Right.
You know, no. They set up a school, but there's no like HR and and also, do they have good Dabo point. Boys? And what's their reputation? Is Dabo like the Hooters of deep space?
I'll be a Dabo boy. I like that they called it the flea market of the sector, because, you know, I've been calling it the mini mall of the sector, so it's nice to have a new little thing to refer to it, the flea market of the sector.
Sure. So, well, we got to talk about Trosk, guys. Trosk, the guest star, the lizard being hunted. We've seen him very recently. We saw him as the bumbling sub-commander Nevek in Face of the Enemy. He was just on TNG, where, if you had listened to that episode, you heard me freak out because he is also the killer snowman, the titular killer snowman in Jack Frost, the killer snowman movie. Nice.
And I like that O'Brien kind of gets to be an exposition machine. He explains the whole station, how many people are on it, what they're doing, what's going on, and really setting the stage for people who are new to DS9.
Smart.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. I just think that you'd think that if somebody was searching for where the weapons were stored on the station, that somehow the computer would alert security. Or can you just say, like, computer, who's the weakest person on the ship with security clearance 7?
Like a station built for people, strangers, to come through off and on.
Right,
It just goes to show you that the software is probably ancient and just, like... It's not unbelievable that this station would have this would be my point. Yeah, it's not unbelievable that the station would have bad software or bad not have fixed these leaks. It's probably really easy to hack people. It's like, you know, like the Oregon DMV recently.
There you go.
So O'Brien tells Trosk that it's, you know, one of their rules around there is not to go sneaking up on people. What are some other Alpha Quadrant rules do you think that they should tell people coming in?
Let's think about it.
But we only have 5 minutes and 50 seconds left, so it occurs to me why O'Brien is so comfortable with Trosk. He has had 6 years of practice with Data, so he's absolutely comfortable talking and explaining life to somebody who doesn't get humor colloquialisms.
I like it.
That's a good point. I'm curious, like, how long do you think they can hold Trosk without charges? Is there, like, any judicial processes? Like, we usually can hold people, 72 hours unless we file charges? So I'm just curious, like, are there any legal statutes in Deep Space Nine?
72 space hours.
Mm-hmm. 76 hours. It's a 26-hour day on DS9. Anyway, go ahead, Rob.
Oh, wow. Odo this week. The Odo shapeshift of the week is a painting. Okay.
Hey, I have that.
I got to mention. One of us has to mention it.
Let's see. Glad that they're finally dealing with the enormity of this wormhole, which is like such a huge deal in universe. Like, this place should be crawling with science and research ships, should it not? Like, I don't know. I'm glad they're finally being like, oh yeah, we actually met an alien.
Yeah. Mm. ACAB always, but I do respect how calm Odo is with apprehending Tosk. Like, he doesn't escalate. He just calmly closes off the corridor, talks to him. Like, it's a really nice managed situation with catching him trying to break in.
Yeah, but also when the second set of aliens arrive on the station, and I know that Odo doesn't carry a weapon, that's pretty ballsy, Odo, but then he gets immediately bitch slapped on the promenade. Doesn't seem like it's very hard to like kick some ass on Deep Space Nine and like take names later.
I'll piggyback on Odo. That is insane. It's like makes you like a police officer that de-escalates situations and doesn't just start blasting. I don't understand.
Yeah.
What that must be like.
Let's see. Well, I got to talk about Julian. Of course, he doesn't have a lot to do in this episode, but I just love the moment where he's like, oh, you know, I'm a doctor. People tell their doctor things. You know, why don't we? And then just completely gets cut off. He's still the Julian trying to stick himself into the plot, and it's not working.
Yep. I do. You know what I like to wear when I'm hunting is brightly colored clothes with shining lights all over them and a really bright light pointing out of my visor. So I really blend in with the environment. Although the phaser catching armbands, that's pretty sweet. And
yeah, that was pretty cool.
Should get those. Yeah,
I always make sure to go to my hairdresser and ask for the Prince Valiant hair.
Yes,
yeah,
as well. Yeah,
the worst.
What do you think? What it's like for the Tosk while they're training? Are they like treated like sumo wrestlers in Japan? Like, are they celebrities? Or the epitome of male perfection?
Yeah.
I'll piggyback on both Bobby and John. First of all, I'll say, is that maybe it is a reality show? Maybe they televise it. And as far as the bright clothing, I think maybe that's just, I assume it's just the rules, and it's like a laser tag. Ritual. It's like a laser tag arena. It's basically space laser tag with higher
the galaxy is their laser tag arena.
Yeah.
I just love that Sisko leaves all of his pluses on the other side of the door. He's just nonplussed. His baseline is nonplussed. The only time he's angry in this episode, he's pretending to be angry at O'Brien.
Yeah.
Just chaos erupting around him. Doesn't bat an eye.
Yeah. I think this is like a perfect, like the first real perfect DS9 episode because, it's like, okay, stuff like this happens. And I do respect that the hunters and the hunted the whole time stick to the rules of their, it's like, they stick to the ritual. It's not something that they take lightly and they, you know, follow their own rules as best they can.
Yeah, I guess that's true. It made me a little uncomfortable, though, but whatever. Right? At what point can you actually interfere? What's too barbaric? But that's not my point. I'm just adding on to that. I want to talk about Quark for a second, too. I mean, he kind of gets a bad rep, but he kind of walks the line between culture and all the other cultures. He's kind of an ambassador, I think.
He's a great ambassador.
Which is what a good barkeep is, right? It's an important role in society.
Yep. Yeah.
Do we ever get to see Quark and Guinan interact?
Ooh, interesting. We'll find out.
That'd be interesting.
Wow.
In my fanfic.
Nine and a half left.
O'Brien, I'll again piggyback on John. O'Brien is lucky that the rules of the game aren't like, if somebody helps you, you're going to be hunted now too. Like, there are probably some rules that like, wow, we're really lucky that wasn't implemented. That O'Brien's now always on the run.
Yep. The moment at the end where Tosk is like, so you coming with me? And O'Brien should have been like, wait, what did I agree to?
We're married now.
Let's see. Bowcasters. They carry bowcasters. That's pretty awesome.
Straight up.
Yeah. O'Brien helping Tosk escape. That whole sequence is one of my top 10 DS9 sequences for the whole series.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really well done.
Bros, bros.
At the very end, when he's trying to escape, there's a shot of Tosk's wardrobe from the back, and it looks like he has a constant wedgie, which seems really unfair in a good hunt.
If you compare Tosk to the Predator, which is kind of like, you know, a Predator, he's a pretty lame Predator. I mean, the force field, I mean, he's not trying to hurt Odo, but the force field bouncing off and then like later jumping over somebody and pushing them. Like, he's
seconds.
Not really that.
Yeah. Let's see. Last notes are, I really like Tosk. I loved O'Brien talking to himself when he first went into the shuttle. And I really like this episode.
Yeah. Die with honor, carrying as much emotional weight as live long and prosper the way it's delivered.
I kind of liked all of O'Brien's colloquialisms. It's almost like he was like a human caricature of sorts.
Yeah.
The moral of this episode is break the rules. And also, I hope you all die with honor right now.
Tosk asking O'Brien to allow him to die with honor. Anyone else bump on that? It sounds like what Rob says to Cam after every green shirt recording.
Boom.
All right. Well, tune in next week on Green Church will be Birthright Part 1, featuring guest Alice Wetterland from Star Trek Lower Decks. Yeah, she played a role in Star Trek Lower Decks. She's also on Resident Aliens, lots of other great shows, as well as her own Star Trek podcast. So tune in for that.
Yeah.
Do it.
And our next DS9 episode will be, I believe, Q-less.
Yes.
And then after that, some housekeeping notes here. We're going to go on a little break, both Green Shirt and DS9 Minute, while we finish up Strange New Worlds over on Open Pike Night. So that should just be till the end of the season. So let's say first week of September, we'll be back with the following Green Shirt episode, Birthright Part 2. That's right. We're going to end you on a cliffhanger with a very special guest on that one as well. Also want to thank Michelle from Crusher Connection for that amazing drum intro at the beginning. We've been getting some great listener takes on the DS9 theme. Eventually, I'm going to hopefully kind of meld them all together into one opening theme for us. But in the meantime, maybe we'll feature one for a little bit while I try to mix those together.
Die with honor.
Dabo. Die with honor.
Dabo.
Dabo.
Dabo with honor.
Dabo. Dabo.
Dabo with honor. Is that what you said, Jerome?
Yes.